Yo, 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 what's up, Blompot gang? Rebito Ramena Hitseko Fatso, otherwise known to you guys as Babes Wari Pulelo, Wana Mane, but most importantly, Fafa Wild, your very own good vibe generator, reporting to you guys live from my bedroom because, you know, that's where the magic happens, baby, you know what I'm saying? And of course, I'm so excited to welcome you guys to episode 2 of Blompot. Of course, you already know that the next hour to maybe an hour and 20 minutes is about to be pure umlilo. You're about to have a really good time, so you made a really good decision. And without further ado, let me get straight into it, guys. You know, in keeping with the traditions of twos, I've got double trouble today on today's episode. You know what I'm saying? I've got two bad boys. bad boys. No, I'm kidding. They're just regular some regular. They're just regular guys. Regular ass niggas. First and foremost, I've got Mr. If you are not drenched, you were not trained by T, a personal trainer, an ambassador for Draws Underwear, and a top 40 contestant for Mr. South Africa, Tiamo Sokane himself. What it do?
What it do? What it do? Can I shout out my other sponsor because I need to secure the bag? Shout out to the Skin and Nail Lounge. They take care of my face and my hands and my feet. They out here for me. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Did I pronounce your surname correctly, by the way?
100%. Yeah, Tiamo Sokane. You got it clear.
All right. Perfect. And then somebody who is, you know, bomb also in his own right, but like in a completely different field. You know, he's running them corporate lanes. I'm talking about Kwena Mafujane, you know, who works in asset management. An overall funny guy, you know, very controversial, spicy, maybe, but also just like a smart, chilled, awesome guy. Yo, what up?
I feel like I can't compete with that intro. Like, niggas are sponsors there too.
Oh, stop like, it.
Yeah, that's mad, bro. But yeah, I'm good, yeah, man. I'm good. I have nothing to shout out because, yeah, I'm just gonna try not get cancelled. That's my goal. Just try not get cancelled.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep the controversy to a minimum.
Yo, and you know,
it's late, bro. I don't wanna trend on Twitter, bro. That's a top 5 here, bro, right there. I don't want that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no. If only cancel culture could keep all niggas in check, though. Like, you know. But yeah, at least you know the risks. I think about that a lot. But anyway, guys, welcome to you guys both to the to the second episode of Blompot. You know, how's lockdown been treating you fellas? How's it going?
Thank you. Hey, lockdown affected my bag hard, man. As a personal trainer, because we deal with one-on-ones. But it gave me the opportunity to pivot my business, Shopper Online Vibes, hitting it up on Zoom as we are now. So it's cool, man. Lockdown's been good to me.
Yeah.
We're staying safe,
and
staying
clean. It looks like it's been going well. Yeah, sorry.
It is, man. Sorry, Fafa. You don't expect people to like respond immediately. You know what I mean? Especially when it's 360 from your business. You know, you're in their face, and then all of a sudden now they're online. I felt there would be a bit of resistance, but nah, they vibe with me. So shout out to my clients for that. I appreciate them.
Yeah, no, your clients are very supportive. I remember, like, even after that live where you were like busy mentioning Blompot, some lady that like follows you like immediately followed me, and I was like, oh,
hundreds.
Talk about influence, hey?
hundreds.
But anyway, yeah, no, your clients definitely ride for you. And for you, Gwena, how has lockdown been too?
Yeah, dog, it's been just the time to reflect. I mean, I've been working from home, like no bag has been affected or anything, so I'm lucky that way. I've got to save more money than I've ever saved in my life, because your man's is not going out every weekend.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There's no drinks or whatever, but I mean, I've just been chilling, playing games. Like, I thought actually I'd use this time to like probably get into like some of my hobbies and stuff, like just to push that as well. But like, yo, bro, not that it's not I'm not motivated or anything, but I'm just tired. Like, yeah, I'm exhausted, bro. It's exhausting, bro.
Yeah,
it's tiring. Yeah, it's another challenge. Yeah. Itself, but hey,
it really is.
But we are alive.
Because it's also like you have to like find the motivation.
Doesn't stop. You know, I mean, you work like you work, bro.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, okay, you work from home. You don't have to travel, so spend another 5 hours, my guy.
And also, and also there's that expectation that like, oh yeah, because you're at home, you're gonna come out a completely like improved version of yourself, all your hobbies, all your interests pursued.
We lie to ourselves, bro. It's a pandemic. I don't think there should be pressure to be that person, bro.
Just, definitely.
You know, it's a challenging time, you know.
I agree. Yeah. All right. Well, before I get into today's main topic, guys, I'm gonna just kind of start with like an icebreaker. I don't know how active you guys have been on Twitter lately, but there's been, you know, a bunch of, you know, you niggas are always wilding. Men are always on some other tip. Niggas have been upset on Twitter, right? Niggas have been upset on Twitter at the advances that Zotto Wavantu has been making towards that young actor. I don't know if you guys know him. He acts as, I think, in Ntokozo in Gomorrah. But essentially, he's like 21 years old. And like Zotto's been commenting there on his Instagram, you know what I'm saying? Being like, hey, my boy, angsakho, nimanje, you know what I'm saying? Can we talk about making this thing work? Can
I? No, she must secure.
And people have been calling her predatory, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people have been saying that if it was a man who was in Zotto's position pursuing someone considerably younger, like, you know, at the age of 21, then, you know, there'd be an uproar on Twitter. People would be upset. People would be calling it predatory behavior. I think Zotto is 34 years old, by the way. Sorry. So yeah, I wanted to find out, what are your guys' views on that? Like, what do you guys think? Like, do you guys feel like she's being predatory?
Yeah. And like, just like, thing is, I like keeping the same energy with things, right? So if it's going to be predatory, if a man did it, then give the same smoke to her. Like, definitely. But at the same time, he's a consenting adult. He's 21. He can do what he likes, bruh. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Most niggas are like, most niggas dream of, yo, bruh, older women, shout out. If she can, if I can get a sugar mama who can, like, take care of me, dog, I am in. Because the niggas are tired of working as well, bro.
Wow.
But, like,
you guys are so weird.
She can take care of that bag, bro. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. It's time to secure us for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And you?
I'm actually like, it's none of my business. I think if homie's happy and he's okay with it and she's happy and okay with it, dude, be about it. I mean, I don't keep up with celebrity culture as much as I used to, but I mean, AKA's girlfriend apparently is also younger, you know what I mean? And let's be frank, as Africans, you know what I'm saying, as Africans, our parents have like 10-year age gaps.
Yeah.
You know, it's just awkward now because it's big on Twitter streets and we're seeing it. You know, you're seeing someone who's 10 years old and go after someone younger. And I think also masculinity is fragile. That's just how we are. It's weird because she's shooting her shot, dog. Like, she's like genuinely in the chats going, ayo, bro, hit me up.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't see that often. We don't see a hand go, bruh, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, so,
okay. But that's to each their own, man.
To each their own.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Like, as well, I think, yeah, like I said, he's consenting so he can do what he likes. Like, someone's definitely right. It's none of our business. As long as he's of sound mind, you see, because I want to flip it back to something that happened a bit 2 weeks ago with a young entanglement. That was a messed up situation because Mans was sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Mans saw her as a mother figure. So it was like,
yo,
bro, that is predatory behavior. But the doctor shooting a shot up, bro, you know, dog, they'll win, bro. They'll do her. Like, I don't care.
Because that's the thing. I feel like it comes down to like what we consider predatory, right? I feel like my understanding, without really like sitting down and going into the research, is that for it to be predatory, you need to be preying on something. So with the Jada Pinkett and August Alsina situation, is that yes, he is above the age
he
of
was like 23.
How old is August?
He was at the time. Yeah, he was like 23 at the time.
23, yeah. But he was emotionally vulnerable, you know, and so she could be preying on that. You know, when it's somebody younger, it's that you're preying on the fact that they're innocent and impressionable and don't know much about the world. When maybe somebody comes from poorer circumstances, it could be that you're preying on the fact that they don't have money and you could lure them in with that. But like in this situation, both of them are in the entertainment industry. This guy, I mean, Zotta was popping last season. I even forgot about her, you know, but this kid, you know, this kid is in, you know, Gomorrah, which is like a hit right now for a lot of people. he's a fresh face in terms of like the acting space, so he's got a lot going for him. I don't think that he would go for Zota Wawantu for her influence, you know. And not to mention what you guys said, that he is a consenting adult. The ball really is in his court. She's not harassing him. She's doing what everyone does, which is like, you know, fangirl in the comments. She's just 34 years old.
Damn, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which also, let's be frank. That's not actually old, yo. Like, yeah, we're going on like she's ready. Also. She's ready for pension, dog. I mean, a lot of us have siblings who are around that age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she must secure, man. She must secure.
Yeah, no, she must secure. She must go for it. We'll see how that works out for her at the end of the day. But yeah, anyway, so today's episode, though, guys, is about something that I wonder, like, if you guys are familiar with, or maybe, like, even just if it's ever played a role in your lives or in your relationships. But it's a phenomenon that has devastated a lot of relationships in this country. You know what I'm saying? It has made a lot of girlfriends very mad. And it's essentially the boys, you know, the boys. I don't know. Let me elaborate on this on this topic. But essentially, you know, today's topic is just focusing on how, well, we're going to start off by kind of focusing on how the boys play an influence in certain relationships, you know, especially like with guys. So in terms of like how women sometimes find that the boyfriends prioritize their time with the boys over you, you know, or you're dating the type of boyfriend where when it's sexy date night, he's busy telling you, yo, the boys are already on their way, babe. Ah, I forgot to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Where the boys influence his way of thinking, his opinions, the way he dresses, you know what I'm saying? And even you as a girlfriend, just from like an external perspective, you start to notice that these boys are weird, you know, they don't hold each other accountable. They enable a lot of problematic behavior. That one is actually leeching on my boyfriend, but my boyfriend thinks, you know, like that that this is his boy and that he needs to help him. So that is essentially the phenomenon that I'm talking about. So to kind of like kick that conversation off, have you guys ever found yourselves in a situation where your girlfriend was kind of like, you and the boys, man, like you always giving too much time to the boys. I don't get any of your energy. They basically run the show here.
Yeah. many a times. For me, it's more than just the boys. It's just like friends. You know what I mean? Like, cause I have a healthy balance of female to male friends. You find yourself slipping because your homies be like, nah, I tell your hun to chill, you know, and your boys say the same, you know, Donna, you see your hun all the time.
Yeah.
When really you don't, you know, sometimes your girl actually, we want to be intimate in date nights or chills or Netflix, you know, the vibes. And I've found myself caught up in those things, you know. Sometimes I need to be somewhere at 7, but you know, I chill out and then I'm there at like 8 or 9.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then it's 2 hours, the movie's over or the food's cold, you know. And
the movie's, you know, even over. Wow.
Oh, dog. then it affects like the post-match interview, if you guys understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So you know, so
yeah.
Yeah, you find yourself slipping, man. I mean, sometimes, you know, and I think for me, what affects me was groove. Anytime the boys are like, let's go, we chuck in groove, I'm out. I'm like, babes, sharp, you know.
Yeah.
When really, you know, groove won't run away, you know, but those moments with your hand are very, they're important, you know, they're significant.
Yeah, yeah. And you, Gwena?
Thing is, I haven't really, like, really had, like, a serious enough relationship for that to be, like, an issue. But the one time I did, hey, man.
21 7 7 7.
You know what it is. I'm kidding.
You listen to too much.
I know who my goat is, bro. Listen, I know legends, bro. But when I had a hand, right? It wasn't like, because I think like, you know, my boys actually never even met my girl. It was just my best friend. And the thing is, I was like,
okay,
it never became such a thing where like I had to choose her over the boys. Like, I'd see my boys often, but then like almost every weekend I like at her crib and we're like just chilling and whatever. So it never became an issue where she was fighting for my time. She'd fight for my time when like I wanted to be by myself and it was like, yo, I want to, yeah, she'd be like, yo, you want to meet up for coffee real quick? And I'm like, dog, Sunday 3 p.m. I must meet you at 5. I'm doing nothing. Not that I don't have anything to do. I'm doing nothing. Like, let me just jump up and see. Yeah. It's like, but you would, yeah. You know, but yeah, I've seen this phenomenon like play out with some of my homies, and yeah, to the point where some of the hands have said like, listen, bro, if this becomes serious enough, you can't see those niggas no more. And it's like, bro, you better, yeah, it's like, yeah, dog, who you gonna choose, bro? Your niggas of 10 years or your hand who you've just met?
Oh my goodness.
Choose wisely, bro. Choose wisely, bro.
Yeah. So when your hand says that to you, like, do you then feel the pressure to kind of like look at your friends a little bit like differently? Or do you feel like, nah, that's straight up smack. There's no way I'm going to cut off my friends.
Nah, bro. I'm not, like, for me, if I were to be in that situation, I wouldn't cut off my friends. Because I'm like, bro, I come from far with these niggas, bro. Like,
yeah.
They're going to be there for me. Yeah. If you go, not when, but like if you were to break up with me and whatever,
when you go,
I don't want to say that, but hey man, you never know. But like,
yeah,
who's gonna, yeah, exactly,
yeah, you never know,
but who's gonna be there for you, bro? Yeah. But then also, like, even not even like with just the boys, because I mean, like, Tiamo said he's got a healthy balance of like female and male friends, but like for me, it's like,
yeah, female, I think, and male, like, friends, yeah,
like most of my friends are actually female, so. Hey, I know, like, when I get into a relationship, okay, it's going to be an issue, because it's going to be like, oh, that girl wants you. And it's like...
Yeah, it's that's actually a lot.
It's worse,
bro. Yeah.
It's worse than the boys, bro. Because, you know, when you're around hands all the time, bro, then insecurities start creeping in. It's like, nah, you want that one. It's like, yo, I don't, bro. Exactly. Or she wants you. And it's like, no, she doesn't. We would have been done the things.
Yeah. And you want to know, like, have you guys ever smashed? Have you ever been intimate? Has something ever gone on? That's very stressful. You should definitely prepare for that part of your life. You know,
I ain't ready for that.
People should also, we should also be mature about these things. Like, you know, at a certain stage, we're grown. You know that you can trust your person. So it's like, he's got female friends. Maybe it might bother your future girlfriend, but hopefully she'll be able to work through those emotions. But I wanted to ask you, Tiamo, so... you know, seeing that you're aware of the fact that you'd hang out with your friends sometimes and that time would overlap with the time that you needed, like, to spend with your girlfriend, does that mean that you had a moment where you were like, okay, cool, let me stop doing that, let me separate the two, let me make the time to see my girl and set time for my friends aside? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think I definitely
you don't remember
time management. I remember. Okay. It's just time management. Like, we all have those moments in our relationships where the sit down happens, and the sit down is like, and you know, as gents, we need to have the sit down like 3 times for it to process through our brains. I had the sit down the 3rd time. I was like, actually, yeah, no, man, this is not right, chief. You know, so you absorb it, and you got 2 options. You can either say, look, these are my homies, I'm out, or you can go, look, I recognize and I understand your energy, and I'm gonna find a balance. You know, and the balance is simple, Joe. If there's groove tonight, dog, go to groove, or spend the afternoon with your hun, so that when it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock to go to the club, or 11, you're ready to go. You know, and your hun's not complaining. You know that she hasn't seen you.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I found myself. I found myself in situations where it's not the hun's house. So either way, can I not look? I have to vibe. You know what I mean.
You make sure that things are like this.
When I was out here living with independent, where they're like, hey, catch me at my flat, I'm like, hey dog, I'll chill with you and your mom, have lunch, you know, then be out. But obviously as you get older, you find yourself in those spaces where, hey, it's apartment living, you can't, then you sacrifice. You miss that groove, you know.
Yeah, I definitely struggle to let my man go after like an entire afternoon of hanging out. I mean, I know that, like, you know, boyfriends have lives, but damn, that's hard, you know? That's a bit harsh. And you're going to the club.
Y'all are possessive as hell, bro. Y'all are possessive as hell, bro. Like, man spent like 8 hours with you.
But guys, if the roles were reversed, though. If the roles are
reversed, fire,
and we've been hanging out the whole afternoon, then at 10, I'm pre-drinking, I'm calling my friends, hey, busy putting on my sexy outfit. I'm telling you, also you in your heart, even if you don't say anything, in your heart, it will be...
She can go, but then you're just worried about...
Switch
the streets. I ain't gonna be there. Do you really trust... You need to trust your partner for shit. Yeah. You need to trust your partner for shit like that, bruh.
No. I'm not worried about what he's gonna do. Right. I'm sad that... you are leaving after we've just hung out and had this good time. You're gonna go have a good time with your friends. You're gonna be dancing. You're gonna be getting drunk, looking sexy for other people there. Yeah. No, I don't understand.
You can go,
you know?
Junkie for brand. You can go. You spend the whole day with you. You can vibe.
Yeah.
Have fun. Drive safe, you know.
Actually, Fafa, quickly, okay. Please educate me, dog. What is the chat with looking sexy for other people? Please educate me, dog.
This is, for me, what I meant by that, Nah, is that obviously the person I'm with, I find very attractive, right?
Sure.
So I feel like when you go out into the streets, you're going to be looking attractive for other people's consumption. And iyangi stress alento leyo. Not because I'm worried about what you're going to do, but because damn, you're so fine. They won't be able to not look at you, baby. Where you going? You know what I'm saying? That's sure. What it's about for me. Like, yeah.
Ah, but dog, you've eaten the chicken. You had the hot wings. The box can go back outside, dog.
But I just, you know, obviously it's going to go outside. But I'm just expressing the fact that while you're outside, I'm thinking about the fact that everyone's looking at that box, dog. Like,
nah, y'all are possessive. Y'all are possessive.
No, guys, you guys also have your moments. You guys also have your moments. So, you know, let's even move on, because clearly I can see you guys are trying to shift the narrative here, and I'm finna fall for it. So, I know you guys were saying that you have a healthy balance of like male and female friends, but with regards to your male friends in particular, do you guys ever find it difficult to call them out on their bullshit? You know, maybe it's a comment that was slightly problematic or misogynistic to, you know, the parties involved, or maybe he's a serial cheater and he keeps breaking girls' hearts and he's just like, oh, I'm a savage, you know, this is what I do. Or or maybe even as a friend towards you, you feel like there's some support lacking, or you know, something just doesn't connect. But do you guys find it difficult to call your niggas out on their bullshit?
Ish.
Specifically,
men. Yeah, I'm in my circle. I'm the nigga that needs to be called out.
Goddamn.
So, but not for the misogynistic tendencies. You know, like I'm okay with how I interact with the females and all of that. It's more like, hey, dog, what are you doing with your time? Who are you entertaining? You know, that kind of thing. So, I find that I went to an all boys school. My boys. So in high school, it was the vibe. You know. And actually, no one tells you that, hey, dog, that's not cool. So I found that in my circle of friends, when I love my boys, you know, but in my circle of friends, when everyone was settling down and, you know, they were pumping you, they another roster, you've got a team of 11, you know, but none of them say, actually, boy, it's cool to settle down, boy, find someone and chill. You know, I think I might have had like one or two mates that did that, you know, but I'm definitely the friend that needed to be called out, you know. So that would be my problem. It's problematic for me, but we have a healthy sort of dynamic as boys of calling out like misogynistic BS, you know, how you treat women, or don't be dumb about certain things, you know. But I think the sort of cheat code, if I can say so, the cheat code, the future life, it's very lackadaisical, you know. But you reach a certain age where you find someone you care about, and that person points it out, when really you look back and it should have been the men in your life calling that out. You know what I mean?
There's actually something I want to ask you, but before I get to that, Gwena, how about you and in your circles?
My circles, I haven't found it difficult to like call my boys out, because I think to some degree we do hold each other accountable for whatever said or done or whatever, because I don't think it should be difficult to hold, like, if you truly love people, if you truly love your people, it shouldn't be difficult to hold them accountable. Exactly,
your boys. So yeah,
it's like, yeah, dog, like if you said something fucked up, like, yo, dog, chill, like, come on, bro, you know, like you can't be saying shit like that. Or
okay,
like, hey, like when it comes to when,
and so has it always been
now,
like that?
It's like a recent thing. I mean, like, guess, like, maybe, like, after high school, when you're, like, you know, like, because high school was, like, kind of carrying your bond, because you just used to see each other every day, but you didn't know it was being cemented then. But then after high school, it's, like, when you take time out to go see your boys or whatever, you know, it's, like, ah, dog, you know, we can talk about anything, like, if something's bothering you, if you feel like, you know, so-and-so is not pulling their weight, or if there's problems in the squad, like, we definitely need to talk about it and tell you, yo, dog, you are wrong for doing this, or you are wrong for doing that. But
Yeah.
I just thank my boys for never putting me in a position where I have to like call them out for something like truly really problematic, like misogynistic behavior or rapey behavior or anything like that. Like that's when you know you've got like a good circle of people around you. But hey, man, as for like I don't know if it was like player vibes or anything, I'm like, hey dog, that's you having your beers like that. Hey. Especially if he told you, you know what you think is you're an adult, you know what you're doing. It's like, but now don't put
if you want to be a savage, be a savage.
But when you start taking L's, homie, you've been be told, you know. Yeah. It's even the same with me. My homie was told, like, bro, if you want to be a savage, do you. You know, don't include us in no lies. If you're going to have a hand, then, and you're going to be cheating on her. Don't include like me and no lies or whatever. Like they know.
Yeah, don't be calling us like I'm at your house or whatever.
Like if you're seeing multiple hands, you wanna lie to you, say your mom or something, where you're seeing a hand in my area and you're like saying, yeah, mom, I'm gonna go to grandma's house or whatever.
But don't involve other than that, hey,
dog, where I'm like, dog, well at least tell me if you're gonna use my name in a lie. So I don't know what to say, but like generally it's known. Like dog, don't involve me in none of your bullshit. Do your dirt or buy your lonely, and it's safer that way.
Okay.
For you, because I'm not a good liar like that. Like I'll fuck up the lie, and next thing your hand is breaking up with you, and I'm like,
okay.
You know, so they like the accountability angle.
The ladies better be listening.
The accountability angle is way better than like lying for people, because shit gets fucked up that way. Like guaranteed, someone will take an L, and then things are never the same again. Because it's like you told my girl X, Y, and Z. It's like, bro, I don't know.
Gwena needs homies that can lie for him. You need homies that can lie for you, dog.
Like, generally speaking and stuff, but then I'm saying...
Maybe he's trying to live an honest life.
Like, I'm just saying, like, in your personal life, with your hand, something you're trying to build with, and you're going to want to step outside, bro. That's... That's another realm I don't want to delve into.
And that is where the problem starts. Hey,
there we go.
It's like, hey, do you, homie?
Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Nah, because I've definitely noticed that, like, in male groups, or at least like the male friends that I've had, like I can count like my close guy friends like on my hand, you know what I'm saying? Because all the other guys that I meet, it's like, oh, this is a fun time, what a cool guy, whatever. Then like after you spend some time with the person, niggas are making problematic jokes, you know, and maybe not all the niggas in the room find that joke funny, but no one's gonna tell him. They're just gonna be like, ah, dog. You know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And even like as a friend, like they're like, yo, this nigga can't listen. He doesn't take advice. He's not supportive, but he spends all of his time dumping his emotional baggage on us, you know, getting support from us. He's not even a good mate. And then it's like, oh, so then why don't you confront him about that? Or why don't you try to set some boundaries? It's like, nah, that's my boy, dog. That's my boy. And like, you know, I gotta ride with him, you know? And it's like,
nah, it's a lame excuse, bro.
Okay. If that's what you want to do.
It's a lame excuse, bro. I don't even think it's really like a that's my boy, type of thing. Like, I'm not seeing these things out of love. It's like, hey, maybe, I don't know, your high school dynamics is still following you, because if he was like the head hunter of your squad, you're not gonna speak up to that nigga. You're not gonna say anything to that guy. So maybe it's like follow that. Maybe you're like, I'm not scared of this nigga per se, but subconsciously you're like, aight, this nigga's not gonna hear me, or this nigga Loki doesn't respect me, therefore I can't say anything to him. That's the true dynamic of it, if you really wanna understand how like some of these squads work, bro. So because there is that one homie that sometimes they will listen to, but then sometimes you find that two of a feather there, like they're both the same, so therefore the one nigga he'll listen to will not call him out because they're exactly the same. So it's complicated in that way, but it's like bro, I think sometimes it's from a point of this nigga's not going to listen anyway. And sometimes people don't know why they're still friends, even if they don't need to be, you know, like you just hold on to that bond of like, we've been friends for so long. You might be a bad friend, but we've been friends for so long, but I'm not going to invest the time to like call you out or anything. Like, I'm not emotionally invested in your betterment.
It's weird. Yeah. It's a very weird.
It's like you feel like you're.
It's also like that's like a fraternal brotherhood loyalty thing that exists. Like there's that weird dynamic with boys, like, no, this is what we do. We are loyal to the very end.
Even if you don't like that nigga, bro.
Probably why.
Even if your friendship is dead, you're like, I'm loyal to that nigga to the end. It's like, I can't explain.
And I don't know why.
Exactly, I can't explain it because it's what it is.
No, I'm glad that you guys though aren't in those types of circles. You know. So, all right. So, guys, then let's move on to the next topic. You know, let's talk about toxic masculinity. So, for those who don't know, I feel like most people know, but for those who don't know, just briefly. Toxic masculinity is essentially a societal and cultural norm relating to men and men and how they should behave. That's essentially derived from beliefs that maybe men should always act tough. Men aren't emotional. Men aren't allowed to cry. You know what I'm saying? Men are always the authoritarian figure. The man must always be the steering. He must save the day. He must always be Mr. Tough Guy. And, you know, it essentially creates this problematic standard that men need to live up to even when maybe they can't. So I wanted to know, for you guys personally, do you guys feel like you've been victims of toxic masculinity? I don't know if victims is the correct word, but rather, do you feel like you've been at the mercy of the standards that are kind of prescribed by toxic masculinity? Have you ever felt like you need to live up to a certain standard of being a man? And if so, you know, what example can you give?
I think what you're trying to maybe say is, have we ever found ourselves as products of toxic masculinity? I think yes, dog. I find myself. Mm-hmm. Even from like my dad, you know what I mean? Like I'm very hard on work, and I'm like, Fafa, we know each other personally, so you know I'm always grinding, you know what I mean? But dude, it's actually okay to just sometimes blow my stare, let things fall into place, you know, and I'm learning that now, you know. But even that, like, yeah, gents don't cry, you know, you don't show your emotion. As much as my dad's like an emotional gent, but like emotions weren't encouraged, if that makes sense, you know what I mean? Like it's we didn't discuss those kind of things, and it doesn't even come from like my dad. Also, it comes from like my mom, you know. Like, we're raised in households kind of like emotional vulnerability is not a thing. So I know for myself, I've been in situations where I've been emotionally unavailable, you know. And you think it's cool, you know, as a gent, you think it's cool because it shows you're strong, it shows you're focused, you're headstrong, you know where you're going. But actually you don't have direction because sometimes you can't articulate your feelings, you know, so you mask that with other things. But I found that, that was definitely me. I'm a work in progress, you know, so.
Okay, wow. Yeah, shout out to you for bearing, you know, all of that very, like, you know, vulnerable, like, information. And with you, Gwena, like, do you feel like you've had to live up to the standards of what it means to be a man?
From home, I could always be myself at home. Mm-hmm. That be you being emotional or whatever. Actually, yeah, like that whole be strong thing while you're dying inside, like, it's not encouraged at home, nor do my parents actually fuck with that shit, because last year I think I found myself not that I couldn't like articulate my feelings or anything, but I think I was spiraling at some point, and my mom was like, why, like, but actually both my parents are like, why don't you just check yourself into therapy, right? Not that like I didn't want to be in therapy or whatever, but I was like, just the admin of like contacting a therapist. For me, that was like what was stopping me. It's like actually just taking that action until I actually did it, because like, you need, just get help if you need help. Don't try to be a strong thing. And for me, it wasn't even that, because I wasn't raised like that. But like outside of home, people that you encounter, like, I don't know, whether like, I think like high school was a big factor in that, where it's like, I mean, at home it's like, you know, you can be emotional, you can be vulnerable, but then when you do that outside, you're perceived to be weak, so then you get picked on, you get bullied for that, you get bullied for that, and that was like a huge thing, you know. So it was like, yo, I need to, like, I don't know, keep it tight out there, just so that, you know, people don't see you crumble and people like don't see you.
So that niggas don't disrespect you.
Exactly.
And
the disrespect came, but then like at some point it stopped.
Yeah, nonetheless.
Like, like, yeah, dog, like, you're not gonna do that, you know, type of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and it came from.
And I'm sure, I feel like with boys, really.
Sorry. It came from all fronts. It's not even just with boys. It's like, fine with the boys, but then also, like, Hans played into that as well, because it's like,
You're a soft nigga.
We can pick on you, disrespect you. Exactly. Yeah, Hans, like, take advantage.
Exactly. So some Hans that like I've spoken to, like, yeah, I can't be with no soft nigga because I'm disrespectful, and you know, I need a nigga that can put me in my place.
And we love to say that.
You guys love to say that. And yeah,
we don't want a nice guy. Nobody likes. Yeah.
Dog, nice guys finish last, bro. Nice guys finish last.
I mean,
please, we don't perpetuate.
No, but you see, I can expand. Nah, I can expand. And that you were saying, dog. Nah, Fafa, you guys know yourselves as hard. There's some truth, dog.
There's some truth to that, bro. There's some truth to it. I think, like, as widespread as it is, nah. But like, if you're like a genuinely good person or whatever, I don't think you'll finish last. But if you need to be, if you put on this persona of, if you're the self-proclaimed nice guy. You know, if you're like basically the simp, you will finish last because you know that's not genuinely you.
Nah,
like, niggas stop simping. That's it.
Fair.
One message I can put out there. Niggas stop simping.
Stop.
Hey, dog, let me. I think it comes back to toxic, like what we're talking about. You know what I mean? When I say nice guys finish last, is that our masculinity doesn't encourage you to be a nice guy, because what happens is, Hans, you guys, you end up putting the gent in the friend zone because. Why is this guy being so nice to me? You know, you guys like the guy who replies late. You know, you guys like the guy who doesn't respond to texts. He won't call. Yeah. You know, he won't see you. He'll blow you off, and then you lose your mind.
Yes.
You know, you like the bad guy until he's actually toxic. You know, and I found myself in that space where like I've lost friendships. I've lost relationships because of that toxicity. You know what I mean? When really, bro. I could have just been my real soft self, dog. Because, hey, me, I'm a soft gent, sure. You know? And the thing is... But you know what the thing is, dog? But you find, like, 5 years later, dog, you're acting hard. You're acting hard for, like, 5 years. And then something happens. Boom! 2020. Now you must sit with your thoughts and you realize, dog, this ain't me, dog. And, you know, now you gotta peel it back.
Yeah, I shouldn't have been doing
No, but for real, like, when I was saying, dog. When I was saying, dog.
This is a difficult time.
And you have my respect for it, bro. You really, Gwena has my respect because he's saying, yo, dog, check yourself in, you know, get that help, you know. And for me, that's why I said earlier, like, I'm a work in progress because, hey, dog, me, I wasn't checking myself in. I wasn't even checking myself, you know what I mean? I was like, who's going to tell me scrap?
Yeah.
You know, I'm me, take it or leave it, when really, nah, dog, that ain't cool, bro. We need to be soft nigga Sundays, bro.
Yeah, no, you must definitely... Yeah.
Okay, but I just want to ask you, dude. Fafa,
and
with, like, you know, like being that toxic nigga, that trash nigga in a relationship, would you encapsulate that in toxic masculinity? Because it seems like niggas act like that. So, because like actually, what I found, like being the nice guy early on in a relationship does not work for you because you'll get disrespected.
It doesn't.
Versus if you're like a trash nigga from that jump, where you're like replying to a text late, you say you're gonna see her but you don't. You
but
keep
that's
on
not
your
a
toes.
Trash nigga. That's the thing.
Okay. What? Well, okay.
It depends on how we define.
Okay. Yeah. How would you define that?
Okay. Before I define it, to answer your question, sorry, I do think that men living up to that kind of like, you know, I'm a reply when I reply, I'm a playboy. You know, I'm a bit cheeky. I tease this girl, I'm available one day, then I'm not available the next, but I'm busy on social media, she can see I have a life. I do feel like that kind of does fall into that thing of toxic masculinity, because men are kind of taught to be promiscuous and to be, you know, aloof in their relationship so that they can have many relationships, you know, all of those things as a way to live up to what it means to be a man. You have plenty of women because you have plenty of needs. But anyway, how I would describe a trash nigga for me. Okay.
Alala.
It's a tough one. Okay, let me think about it really.
Think about the last nigga that dribbled you. Think about that nigga. Think about the last nigga that dribbled you. What was he like and why were you into it?
Oh, I wasn't into it. That's why he's gone. You know what I'm saying?
But early on.
But it's the poor communication. It's the telling you things, but the action not matching up. It's, you know, you almost start to feel like, is he just telling me these things to keep me around, you know, so that he can keep hanging out with me and getting whatever he's getting, you know? Yeah, things like that from what I can remember. I suppose, I don't know if it made him trash, but it definitely made him not for me. But for some people, for some girls, that's definitely what gets them going. The, oh my God, friend, he's gonna take like 3 hours to respond. I'm so upset. But as soon as he responds, you there within seconds, like, oh my God, I can't wait to see you. Timothy, and you've forgotten that whole conversation you had with your friend, you know, for the fact that like he's not settling down, or he's not showing signs of it being serious, but he's giving you some good dick. And when you guys are busy doing the thing, he's telling you sweet nothings. So even though you can see that from his actions, this guy's not serious. Because us girls, we have a weakness for these stupid, trashy niggas. You find yourself just going with the flow, despite seeing the Ryman. Mushimano has serious mara. Hey, come on, Nati. Come on, Nati. I will settle
winning,
for bro. What I'm getting.
These niggas are winning.
You know, I'll settle for what I'm getting. Yeah. So I think. Those are the situations. Like, those, like, as women, like, we definitely have a weakness for those types of guys, and it takes us really being assertive and being like, yes, despite the fact that I want to give him another chance, even though it would be the third chance, and I spoke about this issue and he's doing it again, or the fact that he won't respond and he'll tell me he's tired, but then when online. I check over there, uko taboo. Or, you know, he says he wants to make me his main girlfriend, but right now we're still getting to know each other. We've been getting to know each other.
But you see, that perpetuates it, Fafa, dog. That's what perpetuates it. And hey, me, I'm gonna, it enables me. I'm gonna be very honest. I wanna that where I found myself, if I've ever found myself, or when I found myself in the space where the person wasn't assertive. Ah, dog, we're gonna continue, dog. Until it gets to a point where, hey, Mvana, there's the door, you know? And it brings me back to that whole point of 5 years later, you know? It accumulates, you've been enabled by, like, all these hands, or this one person who's constantly enabling you. And then when you find that, hey, dog, you're actually on the court, you're starting lineup, you're the LeBron of this hands team, you know? Donna, play LeBron. Don't be out here dribbling, hitting three-pointers when you want to. Perform all the time, you know. But our masculinity doesn't allow us to see that, you know. And I think
There's a lot of pressure being LeBron, dog. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure being LeBron. Being LeBron.
And the thing is, like,
hey, man.
Excuse me. I also feel like girls, like a lot of us women, grew up with problematic ideas of what we can find sexy in a man, you know? That's why Drea Michelle can go on an interview and be like, I want a man to love me so much he shoots me in the foot. You know?
The thing I've ever heard.
Imagine,
oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's because we've grown to be attracted to that toxicity, that possessiveness, because it makes us think that, no, he loves me, he cares about me. And even though there are other signs that are showing that he's not committed, like, you know, the fact that he does this and he does that shows me that I'm the one for him. So because of that, we also struggle to put our foot down and be like, oh, okay, fine. Yes, I do. It is nice when a person doesn't make it super easy and he doesn't show me that they like me by being excited to respond. So let me actually put my foot down and let go of the bad guy.
Yeah, but the alpha is too nice.
Created, or
hands like the alpha. That's what I mean when I say, like,
yeah, that's the thing. But the alpha doesn't
And now this is where we speak to gents and we go, to be an alpha, you don't need to be a trash nigga. Gotta be toxic. We need to educate ourselves, because one, Hans will not do it. A Hans will not educate you on being a non-toxic alpha, right?
What?
Nah, y'all just enable that. But like, you know what the thing is? You know what the thing is, dog, with the alpha is, the alpha has to be the full package of strong, macho, monotone, non and assertive, you know, and putting his foot down on the ground, you know, it's my way or the highway. when really you can be a nice guy and an alpha. What being an alpha really is, what I'm learning, is that being an alpha dog is, you know, you stand up and you put your chest out and you go, hey dog, I stand for a certain thing and a certain value as a gent, you know, and if I'm in a space with you, this was what works, this isn't what works. Being an alpha is being able to meet with someone and agree that, okay, this is our dynamic. But now, because of our masculinity, because of what we've learned in hip hop, what we've learned in pop culture, you know, we learn that the alpha calls his hun a bitch. You know, the alpha calls, you know, he calls his side hoes. You know what I mean? But let's, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on the podcast. I'm sorry, but that's really what the alpha is, dog. If you look at think of the guy that always gets the hun in pop culture. That guy's not nice. You know, you look at Future's prime example. Future got Sierra and we were like, Kendrick's and Lino, you know. How do you put it on? Dog, it's literally a lyric. Man puts it in a lyric and he goes, I know I'm gonna get my bitch back. I'm sorry. Like, you know, and we sing it, dog, and we think it's cool, but it's subconscious, you know. Lil Wayne said it years ago, I wish I could fuck every girl in the world, and that becomes you. You know, you're this 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old kid bumping the song, and you realize that, aye, Baba, you can't be doing that, dog.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we do. And it's not even, I'm not even going to push Americans. It's local and international, because you go to Major League, Dallas has got his hands around him, or you, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? You're seeing.
Yeah. Oh, shake that. Bro. This is in a handstand.
That's the jam.
Man,
that's the jam.
You know, and that's it look nice.
No, it's Dice. Oh, Dice, that's the jam, dog. Come on, dog. Make a shake it like Dice. Nah, but it's exactly that, dude. Like, I'm a big hip hop head, and I was thinking about it before the interview. I was like, if I was a house head, I'd probably be a much nicer dude. Get bamba with my deep house. You know, now I say, dog, I'm telling you, hey dog, me, I grew up on the game, Lil Wayne, 50, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
50, dog.
Oh.
Yeah, dog. Candy shopping grade 4 can't be
not at all, dog.
Like, just to add to what you're saying, listening, dog, knowing the lyrics to Candy shopping grade 4, dog, like, you're 10, bro, you're 10. Like, that's what I was like Lollipop in grade 7, dog. Like, just the songs we used to listen to and the music we grew up on, bruh. It cannot be, like...
Yeah.
Actually, this is why we like this, actually. But then, also, there comes a time when you, like, separate, like, the music from your action. You can listen to that type of music because it bangs or whatever. Like, I think the reality comes in when you actually see these artists, you know? It's enough hearing the music and thinking, I'm going to go back to
And thank God for social media, dog.
Now there's Instagram.
Thank God for social media.
Yeah, exactly. There's Instagram, there's Twitter. You see these, bro, see these niggas with gang hands, bottles, quarantine radio. You see them with flashy money, dog. And you're like, I need to exhibit that persona. Like, I want to be that guy.
Because that's the alpha.
Like, I want to be that guy, bro. Exactly. I want to be that guy, bro.
So what was the moment then for you guys where you were able to be like, okay, I've been influenced by this, like, norm and by this culture where men act like this, we aspire to be like this. I feel like with money and flashy things, I can attract all the things I want. And then, you know, so what is that moment where you take that belief now and you're like, no, I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to live to these standards anymore. I want to figure it out for myself. I don't want to be influenced by the rap lyrics and, you know, the culture amongst me and my boys and my friends or whatever. I don't want to be influenced by that anymore. I want to do me this way. What was that moment? Like, what prompted you guys to be like,
Jay-Z 444. When that album dropped from track one to the last one, when you realize that, hey, Baba, man, this guy, Ofebeti Beyonce. Do you know what I mean? And in that same breath, he explains how whack his actions are. Do you know what I mean? And next to that, for me, that was a deep album, but it's not about music. When you start seeing rappers get married, dog, when you watch rappers get married and they're committing, but Gucci Mane are having like total like reality shows. Like, I'll bring it home, Joe. I listen to Pretty Ugly, dude. I was listening to Pretty Ugly yesterday in my car. Doc Pretty Ugly will tell you about how he's gonna snatch your bitch. The man is a daddy with a sling, and he's wifed up over 10 years now.
Dude.
But proper, you see what I'm saying? And then proper. you look at Quavo and Cardi B. Cardi B left Quavo's ass, and what did Quavo do? He begged, you know. But these are the same rappers that are
Offset.
The same niggas though. Bomigos, they telling you that they're out here with Italian clothes and all these hoes, you know. And Kanti is here begging on the gram for his wife to come home. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, I mean, speaking of Quavo, I saw something where Quavo said, so Willie's teaching him how to laugh. And I was like, hey, bro, aren't you like a trapper? You know, you're serving it up. You know, so.
Proper trap.
Yeah, so I don't. Nigga,
yeah.
They lied to us, dog. And I feel bup. I feel bup that I'm only learning this now. Like, hey, dog, maybe in like the last year, 2 years.
Yeah.
And you pick it up. And it doesn't even lead to instant changed behavior. It just leads to you being cognizant of what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know, and then the point where you put your foot down, hey, dog, something momentous has to happen in your life. Something momentous has happened.
Yeah, but no, don't be hard on yourself. Don't be hard on yourself. The point is that you are here, you know, like as long as you don't, because there isn't really a time. A lot of guys, I feel like, do make these realizations in their early 20s when they are like being exposed to, like, you know, like university and like just like a different world where now you have to kind of like use that world to reflect back onto yourself and to be like, damn, what
100%.
Change, you know? So and for you, Quena, what was that moment where you were like, fuck toxic masculinity, I'm doing it my way?
Truth be told, like, I know, you know, people take me seriously when I stand future, but I'm like, dog, I just stand the man for his honesty.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I just stand the honesty.
God.
Just love the honesty.
Oh,
just the honesty. The fact that you can say these things with your chest, bro, I'm like, shout out. And you don't care if people like you for it. Shout out. More power to you. But like Tiamo
said,
he's
honest about problematic shit.
But who's calling him out?
And exactly, where's the L? What else
are
is
we
taking?
Calling him out? But we're definitely not louder than all of the
fans.
No, forget the fans.
How am I supposed to
In his personal life, where is he taking the L? Where's the L for him? There's no loss for him. I mean, this
but
man,
the point is that he's not doing right by other people and his decisions. He's
okay, let's,
you know,
let's come back publicly.
Whatever trap life,
man's
he's
got
gonna
loaded,
have
bro.
Fun.
Yeah,
man's got loaded, bro. His image is not taking a hit. If
it's
anything,
gonna
he's
have a lot of
money.
Consequences for the party involved.
Which
it doesn't
parties?
Matter. That money isn't going to fulfill him. He's not building valuable relationships. He's got like 7 million kids who are gonna grow up knowing that,
and they all scarred.
Father's life. Trap is, he's like, yes, I may be sitting with like millions of dollars and I'm going to the most expensive schools, but I didn't get to see my dad that often because he's living that life and because there are like 10 others of us, so he has to divide his time.
But you're projecting.
Decisions have consequences on people's lives in many different ways, even the women that are involved with him. Maybe when they're in those situations, they're manipulated, they're deluded maybe by the fact that, I'm with a rich nigga, humunati, whatever. Then you get pregnant, then he dumps you, then you're just another part of the roster, then you're sitting with that and you're like,
I hear you, right? I hear you, right? And I'm saying, I was saying you're projecting because those are like your priorities and everything, not everyone's priorities. Man does not give a fuck about these kids, bro. And actually, we don't know that for a fact. We don't know that for a fact that a man does not give a fuck about his kids. Like, you've seen him with these kids.
He takes,
okay, but he has to divide his time between his kids, right? Cool. But then, now...
He does.
Yeah, of course he does. I mean, bro, if you've got 7 kids, sharp, right? But then...
Exactly.
Now, okay, but now you're saying that it's got consequences for the women he gets involved with, bro. If you get
emotional consequences,
if you get involved, okay, 7 baby moms. Just think about that number 7.
Yeah.
If you got with that man when you were baby number 5,
hundreds,
where's your accountability
hundreds.
And where's your autonomy when you were like,
no,
I should
absolutely
not be doing this.
But it doesn't take away the the accountability that has to be taken by him. Absolutely.
It
and
doesn't.
I do believe that as women, we also struggle sometimes, like we said, to be able to be like, hey man, this is not gonna end well. Like, just because it's sexy now, the money's nice, it's not gonna end well.
Future,
but that's not where the main problem is. The main problem
How long? How long are you gonna blame him for their actions? They knowingly got pregnant by that man, bro. They knowingly got pregnant by that man. Knowingly. 7 times. That's not a mistake, bro. And even for him, bro. You knew baby mama number seven. She's like, this man has got six baby mamas. Six. And I'm going to lay with him, not protect myself, and I'm gonna have a kid by him. I'm gonna keep that kid for a check. For a check. Exactly. So like, bro, these are adults at the end of the day. You have choices.
He's not, dog. But you must understand that
definitely.
But Gwena.
There are two parties involved,
but where the third party is the people who receive his energy, music, contribution to the world. And I can go on Twitter now.
That's you guys.
Fafa, dog. If I open my TL now, I've got Hans that sing Future's Gospel. I say Hans. I know people, females, where they, dog, when he drops, they are hot. They stand hotter than Gwena, dog. They stand hotter than Gwena, these Hans.
My boy.
My boy, you must.
We've seen life, Fafa, bro. You need to see life from this angle.
I mean, just because Hans are supporting it, guys, it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, also him, he must be held accountable for the things that he's perpetuating. And Kira, we've already established that Hans have a tendency to endorse and to be gatekeepers. exactly, Exactly. You know, and in some instances, you can't necessarily blame them. They've grown up in this world where they were groomed to kind of see things that way. Some girls are really, I mean, just fucked up and greedy, and they are just trying to get a check. But others, you know, are also just victims of the norms that are prevalent in society themselves.
But then are we not all, because we all came into this world sort of pure. Boys were raised with that you need to perpetuate this. So I think also, like, bro, young men are victims of it as much as women are, because we're trained to perpetuate it. Women are then supposed to gatekeep it. And it's just a toxic cycle on its own, because you even have, like, I've seen, like, a messed up IG video where, was it on IG or Twitter? It was Twitter. Where this kid was singing Meg Thee Stallion and his mom beat him. He's like, nah, you're not gonna sing that shit around me. Like, you're a boy. Like,
singing Meg Thee Stallion.
She clapped him, bro, on camera. Yeah, and it was like a TikTok. Because he wanted to do that I'm a Savage thing, bro. She came with some other clap, bro. And I'm like, dog, like, he's a kid.
Forget that he's a kid, like, bro. Yeah. As a female, one to not, that could have been an opportunity for her to make her son go viral. Let's just start there, because we're in the age of going viral. But secondly, dog, as a mother to a boy child, dog, let me put it this way. I grew up in a house where bumping Destiny's Child was a vibe, dog. My sisters are much older than me, so when that Survivor album dropped, hey, dog, I knew the words, bro. You know, I might not stand Beyonce, but it was okay. You know, I think also we must understand that with our masculinity, females protect our masculinity. You know, there's a big... In large ways, I've had conversations with women who say, hey, dog, now my son is not going to bring another man home. You know, that's the extreme part of it. But then they'll go, now my son will not wear pink shirts, bro. Yeah. I've encountered people in Edgar's where the kid goes, hey, this is nice. And the mom goes, ay, baba, that's not a boy's color. This is a boy's color. Do you know those associations? And then and then it grows, you know. Yeah. A boy doesn't wear pink. Then a boy doesn't play this sport. Then a boy doesn't listen to that music.
But on that point though, of her, you know, being like, she doesn't want him listening to Meg Thee Stallion, and maybe mother saying they don't want the boys to wear pink. That is literally a product of the patriarchal, misogynistic system that is at large, because it is a system that has no space for homosexuality. It is a system for no, like, that has no space for
gender fluidity, any of it,
powder blue or whatever. Men must wear gray, black, whatever. Men must only listen boring, to this, bro. this, that. So even her, she's merely a product of this norm that is prevalent in society. So as much as you can be hard on her, it's like, and especially as a woman, because as women, you know, already it's a system that puts us the at the chain. Bottom of the ladder or whatever, right? So of course it would be quite easy for us to be susceptible to the value to that norm and to end up being the gatekeepers of masculinity and toxic masculinity, because already we are at a subordinate position where our whole lives were kind of like you know, raised to be the type of woman that can work
subservient to the submissive
system of men and that can, you know, live to serve. Exactly. So it only makes sense that we would then become submissive, susceptible, impressionable to those norms, and then find ourselves enacting them on our kids, you know. But yeah, guys, there's another thing that I wanted to ask you guys. So and we're kind of like, we're gonna wrap this conversation up, even though it's going in, maybe must have a part two or something, I don't know. Nonetheless, so in your guys' friendship circles, with boys particularly, and you know, I hope this is not a weird question to ask, but I'm just curious, do you guys feel comfortable crying in front of them? Like, if you were to break down and cry, do you feel like, you know, like that would be a safe space for you? Or even with your girls, say, because girls could also be like, I don't want to see him cry. So I don't know.
Manje ukhalelani ntwana? Ukhalelani ntwana? Nah, I think I've found myself in I have a very close mate, you know, that we've cried in front of each other, you know, for fallouts with our friendships, for fallouts with our emotions, that gent I can cry in front of. I'll cry in front of my hun. Never my other female friends, you know. If they ever find me in tears, you know, there are people who have seen me cry, male and female, but it was very rare. You know, you find me at my most vulnerable point. But dog, you, like when I said, dog, you get clowned, dog. And that's forever. That's forever. Whether you went to a boys' school, whether you're in varsity, whether you someone's papa, dog. You know, the only time I think it's okay for Jen to cry is maybe when he's standing at the altar, you know, and it's unwritten code, you know, because he's getting married, and when his kids are born. Dog, for real, bro. For real. When your kids are born or when you're standing at the altar, your homies aren't gonna laugh because you know we all suited up. It's your wedding day. Sharp. You don't cry, you can't cry at any point after the wedding. Only when she walks down the aisle. You can't cry at any other point. You know? Same with your kid. You hold your kid. All our dads have said, hey, when I held you, I cried. You're like, hey dog, when else did you cry? You know what I mean? That's me. That's just me.
And for you, Gwena?
I have cried in front of my boys before, but that is like when like hectic shit has happened. But like, yo, I don't think I would do it again. Not that.
Yeah.
Because I think the first time I like cried in high school, I'm not gonna tell you what it was. So like, yeah, like even my best friend said, yeah, bro, like your high school life was never the same after that, because no one took it seriously after that. And I was like, shit. Okay, cool. Yeah. Dead ass.
Bro,
like from, and this was a grade 8. From grade 8 trauma. To the trip, it's like, you know, like, yeah.
The boy. The boy.
Yeah. Or like, if you're
Michael Jordan, Hall of Fame.
If we upset him.
That's.
Not that's even Michael so Edge. Glad it wasn't caught on cam, dog. But but then like in front of my boys, I think there are like a few of my friends who I could cry in front of. Like I think like 2014, I got into a car accident, crashed my car. I told it. So it's like, yo, it's like, fuck. Like I have to face my mom now. When she told me yesterday not to go gallivanting. Therefore I'm gonna crash my car like
So the weight. It's really the weight of the incident.
And I, yo, bro, the wait, I cried, bruh. No, and the fact that I, like, me and my boy nearly died, bruh. Like, they said if we had gone, like, for, like, 1.5 meters, bruh, we would have been gone. So, like, I cried. He didn't cry. And I've only ever seen this nigga cry once in grade 8.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen him cry once in grade 8, and I've never seen him cry again. So, I think, I guess I'm the only one who's, like, cried in front of the homies. But I've never seen my other homies cry in front of me. You know, like...
Okay.
I've never, actually, now that I think I've never seen them cry, I think I've been the only one. maybe because like I'm sensitive and shit, but
hey bro, your DMs are gonna flood.
Gwena's DMs are gonna flood.
He's a soft nigga with dreads and a beard. It's done. It's a rap. And he bumps Future. Ah, it's a rap. It's a rap.
What you talking about?
But you're definitely not sensitive. It sounds like you were just having human experiences. And I think if there's something that we can take away from this conversation, especially for you, Tiyabo, is that you guys must find friends that you can cry around, guys.
Okay, whoa. Before my boys come at me, because they're going to see this. My boys are going to see this. It's the weight of the issue, dog. Yeah, I see you. It's the weight of the issue.
Yeah.
I can't, emotionally, I can't cry because I'm feeling down. But if something happens, death, whatever, the boys will be there. But emotional, nah. The boys come through for heavy things, but not emotions.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense. Yeah. Boys don't cry, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boys don't cry. I guess to them it makes sense. It's not
what you're crying for.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what you're crying for?
Okay.
So, like you said, like if it's like a hectic life thing, like you just lost your mom or whatever.
All the boys will come around you and they'll give you a hand, bro. They'll give you a hand, for sure.
Dog, exactly. Yeah. That time. But then if you're like, I don't know, bro, cry because, yo, bro, you're on your hand of broken up for the fifth time, you might have think you lost it.
Not you cut it out,
you do it. You're like, nigga, bro, like, yeah, you've been here before, dog. You know, you're like, what's going on, bro? Or like, dog. Or some, like, some things don't make sense to some people, bro. Like crying because your pet died. I know that doesn't make sense to most people.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Not at all.
Yeah. You see, exactly. But,
yeah. Okay, no, well, on that note, because we need to wrap it up, you know, Zoom is about to boot us out. So briefly, guys, please just tell me what your self-care routine is, quickly, in 30 seconds.
Killer workout, hot shower, and some dope music.
Yes, and you, Gwena?
Yeah, definitely me, just dope music, sitting in silence, watching series, just... Relaxing, taking a breath, just listening to music, man.
Okay, yeah, no, that sounds perfect. That also sounds like, you know, my vibes, right? Actually, both of them sort of sound like my vibes, but nonetheless, guys, thank you so much for coming through to Blompot. I know that we would have loved to chop this up a little bit more, so don't worry, I'm gonna hit you guys up for another session. You know, this was episode 2, guys. Quickly, you know, just give people your social media handles just one time in case they want to hit you guys up.
Done. Everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Cool. On Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you, Gwena?
Instagram at Queasy underscore KM.
Yeah, Queasy, KWEEZY. Yeah.
Yeah, underscore KM.
Okay.
Not active, but yeah, you can go down my page. Twitter, I'm not active. It's just my name, full name.
Alright.
Handles Queasy Hendrix. What's up?
Oh my god.
Not even kidding. With a red flag.
Future, guys.
With a red flag.
But anyway,
with a red flag. Stay.
10 red flags, dude.
Just
love. Thank you.